6 o'clock. Let's go ahead and get started out of respect for everyone's time. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. So I want to thank you all for joining us. This is the second neighborhood meeting for a proposed conditional use permit to allow a mixed-use self-storage facility on the northwest corner of La Cañada and Tangerine. We have roughly 20 people here in person, but we do have about another 10 people joining us online. So my name is Melanie Sims. I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley, and I'll also be the facilitator for tonight's meeting. As the facilitator, my role is neutral, and my primary goal is to make sure everyone has an opportunity to ask questions, provide feedback and comments, and even potentially design improvements to mitigate some of your concerns. Now, to do so, I do need everyone's help that's participating this evening. So what was handed out when you came in, as well as on the screen behind me and shared with those online, is a list of ground rules. Now, the key takeaway from this ground rules is that everyone treats each other with respect and we strive to having a civil and productive discussion. Now, I also want to ask that everyone refrain from clapping or speaking out of turn, just because those interruptions are also disruptive to the conversation, as well as any inappropriate actions won't be tolerated. But as some just quick housekeeping items, if this is your first time to town hall, there are restrooms as well as a drinking fountain located right out the door and to your right. I also ask that if you haven't yet, that you please silence your cell phone. Now, for those participating online, everyone's mic will be muted until the presentations are done. I will be giving further instructions on how to participate online, but if you at any time have problems with Zoom, please contact Michael Spaeth, a principal planner, at 520-229-4812. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you received a yellow postcard inviting you to tonight's meeting? Almost everybody. Great. So if you didn't receive a postcard inviting you to today's meeting, please make sure you sign in before you leave so you'll be added to our notification list. For those online, if you didn't receive a postcard, I also want to encourage you to email ask@oravalleyaz.gov so you can also be added to our notification list. I also want to encourage everyone to go to ovprojects.com, as there is a web page dedicated just to this project that will be updated throughout the development review process. So speaking of process, where are we? This is our second neighborhood meeting again. So what that means is that since the first neighborhood meeting when everybody met back in February, we have received a formal submittal from the applicant and have been working with them on code compliance. Now, it is important to establish that this is a proposal to develop private property, and all private property owners have the right to have their development reviewed. This is not the town's request, but it is our responsibility to provide due process. Now, as the private property owner's request, it is their charge to create, justify, and seek council approval. And so for this proposal, it does require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as town council, both of which are public hearings that if you're on our notification list, you'll get a yellow postcard for, and you'll be invited to speak. The yellow signs will also be posted on the site as well. So for tonight's agenda, we first want to make sure everyone has the same background information and understands the zoning requirements and review criteria applicable to this project. So to do that, Mr. Kyle Packer, who's a planner with the town of Oro Valley, as well as the lead planning reviewer, is going to walk us through that information. Second, we're going to ask Ms. Carrie Sylvan, who is representing the private property owner, to walk us through the revised site plan, specifically to walk us through what's changed since we all met last February, and also address some of the comments and concerns we heard at that first neighborhood meeting. This includes traffic, compatibility to the surrounding area, as well as crime. And then lastly, and most importantly, is we want to hear from all of you. The neighborhood meeting process is really the best opportunity and time for residents to effectuate change. So I really encourage you to ask your questions, but also provide any comments or feedback on the proposal that you may have. Now, with that said, I do ask that everybody holds their comments or questions until the presentations are finished so that everybody in the audience can hear, but also, more importantly, everybody online can hear. And so without further ado, I'm going to ask Mr. Packer to please provide us his presentation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Sims. Again, my name is Kyle Packer. I'm a planner with the Town of Oro Valley and the lead planning staff reviewer for this project. Go ahead and just give a brief overview of the location here. The project site is outlined in blue. It's about a 2-acre site, and it is northwest of the La Cañada Drive and Tangerine Road intersection. It's near both Lehman Academy and the U.S. Post Office, as well as the Vistoso Gateway, Miller Ranch, and Verde Ranch subdivisions. Now, the figure on the left here shows all of the current zoning surrounding the property. This area was rezoned from R1 144 to Technological Park in 2007 and had a master development plan approved in 2010. Now, this most recent master development plan revision in 2018 was the figure that you see on the right side here, and it was to add the homes that have now been built in that area. Looking through the process here, again, this is a conditional use permit that's being discussed tonight. Per code, a CUP must meet several criteria, namely the proposed use must not be materially detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. It must be compatible with surrounding uses and consistent with the goals and policies of the general plan. And the hours of operation of the proposed use must not adversely impact neighboring properties. Now, there's also an aspect of compatibility here, and I want to focus on that in particular, as this is the element that we heard the most about from neighbors previously. Looking to some of those previous concerns from residents identified for this project, they include traffic impacts and safety, compatibility with the surrounding area, again, considering lighting, viewing, or views and heights, as well as aspects of crime. So this list was provided to the applicant's representative in advance so that they would be able to address these concerns in their presentation tonight. Finally, when it comes to staff review, there are several key factors that we take into consideration and have identified throughout the formal submittal review process, namely regarding, again, the heights, as well as the setbacks, architecture, access, and traffic. So this site is limited to 36 feet of height, and the applicant is proposing 34 feet. When we look to the setbacks are met on all sides and are 185 feet between this building and the closest home lots to the west. And that's about, for visual representation, that's about the length of 4 semi-truck trailers. Looking to the architecture, this was a key element that staff reviewed with this conditional use permit, and the applicant will present updated architecture plans this evening. And staff also reviewed traffic impacts, including a proposal for an additional access north of the storage facility. This was an important element when it comes to separating traffic on-site with that of Lehman Academy.
All right, thank you, Mr. Packer. And now I'd like to ask Ms. Carrie Sullivan to walk us through your revised design and address some of the comments from last time. Great.
Thank you, and thanks to staff, and thank you guys for coming. My name's Carrie Sullivan with Lazarus & Sullivan, and I'm representing both the property owner, Michael Sarabia, who couldn't be here tonight, and Brody Glenn, who's representing the to-be property owner. And user. And I'm going to step through a little bit of the history, and then I'm going to hand it over to Brody to kind of address the concerns that we've heard and the changes that we've made to the plans. So staff has already located it's a total of about 6 acres that's zoned Tech Park that's currently not part of Lehman Academy. And it's the bottom, that red area, that is actually the proposed conditional use permit. It's the southernmost 2 acres of that 6 acres that's being proposed for the self-storage. The property is currently zoned Tech Park. Tech Park permits offices, kind of research, R&D, and it does permit self-storage as well, subject to this conditional use permit. Staff already mentioned some of the heights. Tech Park permits 36 feet in height. We're proposing the self-storage at 34, and we'll continue to meet. That's on the approved development plan as well. So let me give you a little bit of background. Kyle stepped through some of it. This has been a master planned area since about 2007. So it was at one point owned by a single owner, and the idea was to create Tech Park over along along La Cañada, and then create some transition. That center area is an area that's an enhanced open space area that the developer has agreed and has continued to agree to enhance, and then the transition is that residential. You can see on this some of the original master plan, it was the residential was much more dense on the west side. That was meant to be the transition to the lesser dense. As it's been developed, and in 2018, as staff pointed out, the actual western residential was approved, much less dense. And I just want to point out there's, and Brody will highlight it a little bit more, there's the common area that's between some of those homes along the south, and that's where we're orienting and placing the self-storage. So the Lehman is on the north. It's not, many of you know if you were at the last meeting, Lehman Academy is a charter school. Charter schools are not required to comply with zoning. Lehman has worked with the town and the master developer over time to try and work through some traffic issues that I know are still continuing because of the level of traffic, particularly at morning and afternoon drop-offs at a school. So Lehman Academy occurred to the north. It's been an exciting asset to the town, very attractive. The one issue we know has been traffic. South is that Tech Park, that 6-acre area, and then south of that is the commercial retail that's right on the corner of Tangerine and La Cañada, and then again the west side was the residential, or is the residential, that's now developed. This just gives you a better sense of the orientation of the project, where it sits relative to the homes that are being built. And again, Brody's going to talk a little bit more about that. One of the things I want to mention is, and staff mentioned this, is there is an approved development plan that permits a certain orientation of buildings on the site. So part of what we've been working with some of our closest neighbors on is orienting the self-storage so that it's the skinnier part of the building is along the common area and not blocking some of the residential. Again, the heights we're proposing are the heights that are approved in the development package and less that are then permitted in the zoning. With that, this is a repeat of staff's slide on the concerns that we've heard both in the neighborhood meeting as well as in a couple of additional meetings we've had with neighbors. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brody.
Thank you, staff. I'm Brody Glenn with Centennial American Properties. I've met some of y'all, maybe not all of y'all. For the ones that I haven't met, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. We're 1,500 miles away from home because we believe in the Tucson market. We're doing self-storage facilities throughout the country. We have 7 projects in Tucson that we're currently working on. On the road, this is what we're currently doing in our hometown. We've done all kind of different stuff, from mixed-use baseball stadiums to big mixed-use projects. I was chairman of the Planning Commission, and I know how hard it can be and how unrewarding it can be for staff, so thanks for all y'all's time. So digging into the site plan, so as you can see, I need to stand close. As you can see, there's the buffer in the rear here, which as we had our discussions, it won't shine up there, as we had our discussions with the neighbors to the rear, it's clear that they're worried about their view corridors, they're worried about what are they going to be looking at. And as we have those discussions, obviously one of the best ways to limit that is to increase the amount of buffer, but also increase the amount of landscaping and the types of landscaping. Rick's engineering local group here will do all of our landscape architect work. Also, as far as the plan goes, you will notice that there is no outside entrance, or there's no direct access to any storage facility or storage units from the exterior of the building. We created a pull-through, and so when we created this prototype, there was a lot of discussions about jurisdictions and what jurisdictions were going to say. We knew that gates were a no-no. We knew that gates is something that most jurisdictions in today's world wouldn't like. We also knew that the customer wanted to be secure, preferably out of the weather, loading and unloading. So it's about 1,500 square feet, which is obviously expensive, but we'll have glass garage doors on each side of the pull-through, which will allow the customer to pull in. Door will close behind them. That's where the elevators are. They can load and unload there. A couple of things that does is, from a security standpoint, it brings everybody inside. So there's no roaming around, people loading and unloading outside. It decreases the amount of noise because the loading and unloading is done inside the building. And really what it does for us as developers is I can tell you how something's going to operate. Where if it was loading and loading outside or a traditional storage facility, there's a lot of unknowns that are there. And so this allows us to really quantify what it is that we're doing. As far as the building goes, the building's three stories. As Carrie said, it's 34 feet tall. The floor plates are right at 35,000 square feet. And the total square footage is 105,000 square feet with 4,000 square feet of retail. In our discussions with the city, with the neighbors, it was clear one of the major concerns was view corridors. And as we sat in Steve's house and looked out the rear of his house, he faces due east. He faces due east. And so what we did was shift our building down south so that our north wall is further south than any of the residences. And that way, their view corridor, while it's not perfect, it is maintained. It certainly is better than the original proposal as you see on the right. This shows it a little bit better. This shows the setbacks, it's a 185-foot setback. But as you can see, our north wall, or the wall on the top, is further south than the residence to the rear. And as you can see in the cul-de-sac there to the left, there's a washout area. There's no homes directly towards or to the west of our building. And then the house to the southwest of our building faces south. As far as traffic goes, traffic from a traffic impact standpoint, self-storage is one of the best or one of the lowest traffic impact uses that's out there. Currently, looking at the traffic impact studies, if there's 100,000 square feet of office, there'd be almost 1,100 daily trips. AM peak would be 152, and PM peak would be 144. For self-storage, for 100,000 square feet, total trips 153. AM peak, which I know is a big issue with the school, was only 10, and PM peak is 16. And so when you add the retail that we're doing, it's my opinion that retail will be more service-oriented type retail, so these trips probably don't apply, but what the studies look at is averages and whatnot, and once again, it's something that we can't promise you what it's going to be. But per the impact studies, the daily trips for the retail is 371, 19 a.m. peak, and 42 p.m. peak. From the architectural elevations, I will tell you the first plan wasn't my favorite that we created. I think this fits in better. It's all natural tones. All the signage is white. We really try to make it fit in to the area and to the neighborhood. The retail you can see is there to the left as you come in, and we'll make sure that those signs are also white. During our discussions with the neighbors to the west, and we've seen this multiple times throughout the country, is people don't want other people looking into their backyard. I wouldn't either. They also don't want light shining into their backyard. And so instead of doing windows in the rear, we created a look that is closed shutters. We've done this before in different developments, and it really gives it a cool, nice feel and breaks up that wall without having the reflection of spandrel glass. And it just gives you the feel of a window there. This is from the school, kind of from La Canada, looking back down at the project. That's it. Did I miss anything?
All right, thank you. So now that we've heard both presentations, we want to turn it over to the most important part of the night, and that's hearing from you. Again, regardless of if the proposal is approved or denied, the neighborhood meeting process is the best time to help shape the final proposal that will be considered by both the commission and council. So please make sure you ask your questions, but also provide some feedback and comments, or if you have design ideas, we're happy to hear them as well. So my goal is to get through as many questions and comments as we can tonight. And so to do so, I'm going to be taking a few of those in person in the audience, but then I'll be taking a few from those online. And I'll continue to toggle back and forth until we end our evening tonight. So for everyone participating online, I just want to give some quick directions. There we go. If you're participating online, you'll need to raise your virtual hand. And so to do so, you'll need to look for the symbol that's on the screen right now. It may be at the bottom or the top of your computer device, depending on what you're using. And once you click on that, your hand will be raised. Now, if you're using a telephone, you'll need to press *9 to raise your virtual hands. All hands are ordered in which the way they're received. And once we call on you, you'll be asked to unmute yourself. Then you can ask your question. After your question or comment is provided, you'll be remuted so that the speaker can respond. And now for those of you who are joining us in person, you can just raise your hand. And one moment. And when you raise your hand, Ms. Hannah Oden, if she could, will be walking over with a microphone to get your question. Now, I do ask that you wait for the microphone so that those online can also hear your question or comment. We do have a smaller group tonight, so I have a feeling we'll be able to get to everyone's questions or comments, but I do ask that maybe your first time around to keep your question or comment a little bit more succinct, because I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to speak. I'm sure we'll have time to come back around for additional questions. I also want to mention that Mr. Kyle Packer, he'll be writing down notes from tonight's meeting. These will be transcribed into a neighborhood meeting summary that is used to help staff formulate our recommendation, but it's also forwarded to the commission and town council. And both the neighborhood meeting, the presentations from tonight, as well as a recording of tonight's meeting will also be posted online. And so with that, if you have a question, please either raise your virtual hand or your hand. All right, if we can go to the gentleman with the white shirt, please.
And I'll hold it.
All right. Okay, good morning, good afternoon. I'm the resident that lives south of Steve over there. I'm living in the cul-de-sac. Everything from the meeting, from I'm being told now that you're pushing it more towards my direction, which obstructs my view from the Catalina Mountains. That lot that I purchased, I paid a little bit more extra than all the lots in that area because of the view of the Catalina. D.R. Horton had assured me that that tech park, there would not be more than single dwellings or business, but no more than two or three floors, whatever. It's three floors on this one. Yeah. The others, I never received a notice. The 10th, I had to be out of state. I couldn't attend that particular meeting. But it seems like it's being pushed more. I wasn't too worried about it because it was a little bit further. I thought it was going to be closer to the schools there. But now, for some meeting you have discussed when I wasn't there, you moved it more closer. That's going to obstruct my view of the Catalina Mountains. I'm not sure how Oro Valley, I'm new to Oro Valley. I don't know if the citizens or the business come first. There's two self-storage units within 2 or 3 miles of that area. I don't know what kind of income this brings to the city as far as taxes, but you have 27 homes that are worth, I'm just giving an estimate, from $500,000 to $700,000 a home. That's 27 homes that are going to be paying you taxes. Now, I'm upset that at my view, that's the million-dollar view right there. People come to Oro Valley because it's safe and for the beautiful view of the mountains. Now I'm going to be looking at a storage unit from my backyard that where we sit and like to enjoy those mountains in the afternoon or in the mornings. I'll be looking at a storage unit, three-level storage unit. I didn't come to Oro Valley for that. And I'm here to oppose it because it's I don't think unless I was misled by D.R. Horton, but I was told that Tech Park had been ready zoned for single level dwell business. So further south, you're just blocking that view. And again, I moved to Oro Valley for that reason, and because it's a safe community. I don't want that to be my view from now on.
Thank you for your comment. And Ms. Sylvan, can you talk about the building placement and the conversations or the views from all the nearby homes?
So you're right. So we hadn't met yet. I'm Brody Glenn. We met with your neighbors. When we were there, how many windows do you have on the east side? On the east side? I wish I could use a pointer. Because when I looked at your house, it appeared that the house...
I have two bedroom windows, and then from my kitchen, it's a partial view of the south, looking at the property right there, looking at the mountains.
Right.
As you step out of the porch, here's my yard, my mountains are right there.
Right. So we looked at all, even though you weren't there, we walked around that cul-de-sac. I personally walked around all the houses to look and see. You know, the goal is to minimize the view corridors that we will block as best we can. Luckily, as I looked at it, your house, for the most part, most of your windows are facing south. Your backyard is facing south. We can't make everybody happy. I will say, let's see, looking at the plan, so I certainly was not involved in the D.R. Horton conversations. I do know from looking at the history of this project that the commercial piece, this plan, was approved before the residences were.
Was approved before?
Yes.
Wow.
And so...
That's misled.
And this is the plan that was approved. And so for this plan, as you can see, the buildings there, which are proposed office, which we talked about the issues that would come with traffic, the view corridors would be completely blocked from those first five or six houses. And this plan would not have to come back for any type of approval. When you look at what we've done, we've tried to blend into the neighborhood as best we can. We've tried to stay within the zoning as far as the height goes, and then we've tried to eliminate some of the buildings so that your view corridors will be blocked less than the plan that's approved. And literally, if somebody wanted to do that, they could come in and file for building permits and not have to go through any public process.
Yes and no, but the way you described the windows, I mean, don't you step out of your yard and see your view? What I'm saying, it's unfair to tell me that I got two windows facing east.
I understand completely, and I'm not saying that you don't ever look that way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying when we were there, we were trying to be cognizant of the view corridors, making sure that from a percentage standpoint that we didn't completely block any of the houses, and that was the goal of sliding that building south.
So has that decision to move further south, is that a final decision? Or
no, that's why we're here. And I like to say is that we truly believe in the process. Like I said, I was chairman of our planning commission. The process works, and going through these discussions will make our development better. So, no, there's nothing set in stone. This plan is not 100% complete. You know, I will say that there will be tweaks and changes that will go from this conversation, from Planning Commission, and from Council.
All right. And
Did you have one more follow-up? Maybe one more, please.
One more, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
For taking your time. Was it originally, when you're designed and you're built, was it going to be near the school? Or
I'm glad
about that, too.
So, I mean, honestly, our preference would have been just to buy the 2 acres. The property owner wouldn't sell us just the 2 acres. So we're buying the whole 6 acres. But our plan has always been to go on the south side of the 6 acres.
All right. And if we can have this gentleman, please.
Hi, I'm Steve Schmidt, and I've been involved in the planning process with you folks quite a bit. But there are a couple of things that that were not covered in the meetings. And when you talk about meeting with planning department and talking about code compliance, what codes did you place upon them that were not there in our meetings before?
Sure. I'll have Mr. Packer answer that question. Can you talk about the codes that this is required to meet?
Absolutely. So there's a wide range. Obviously, when we start, we're looking at the zoning applied to the property. So that tech park zoning comes with design standards in terms of heights and setbacks. But then there's other elements of code that are applied in regard to parking requirements, landscaping requirements. There really is a number of aspects that are that these sites, all projects, are reviewed for. And so while some of those aspects come into more detail as we get more detail on the project, those are all elements that we've considered as we look at this proposal in its current stage.
Okay. I have one other question.
Oh, sure. And I was just going to add that for the conditional use permit criteria, that's where we look at the compatibility and hours of operation and the general plan compliance. So that's part of the code as well.
And then one step further, then we have to get stormwater and building permits and all the codes that go along with that. So this is just the planning part.
Okay. I also understood that there was to be a traffic study, and I didn't see any evidence of any thoroughfare from Tangerine to the school. Is there a thoroughfare that goes through there for traffic?
Ms. Sylvan, if you would talk about the traffic from Tangerine to the school.
So there is a traffic study that we've done. We've completed a full traffic study. And the city has that, so we can provide it for you if you can. Once again, I wish my pointer worked, but you can see the road that comes down on the west side of our property. And the goal there is to be able to get people from our project, the project to the north of us, to Tangerine. And so Tangerine will be a right-in, right-out. And so people will be able to come in and out. They'll not be able to go back towards Oracle or be able to come if they're on Tangerine going towards Oracle. They won't be able to go left over. So it's just right in, right out there. It does connect in per the traffic study and our conversations with the city. It does connect in there with the school. And so as our conversations were, there's some hope that that will alleviate some pressure that's on Lackanada.
Okay. And I'd like to now take some online comments. So if we can have you, Cause, unmuted, please.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
I'm following up on Steve's question about the traffic study. At the first meeting, we asked that specifically, and we were told that the traffic engineer was there, the traffic engineer. And we were told that we would, what the traffic study is, not the traffic count that we're hearing for the building use, but how it's going to impact traffic on Lackanada. And most importantly, in my mind, the traffic, if I heard this correctly, there's an intent to have traffic flow north from the project through the school up to Sunkist and El Cobo. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Is there any way we were told we were going to see the city's traffic study, the traffic study that would show us what the city's plan was to manage the traffic this project would create on La Cañada and specifically on the north side of the street.
Sure. Mr. Cause, I apologize. We had a little trouble hearing you, so I'm going to try to repeat your question. From what I heard, you wanted to understand more of the traffic circulation, and your concerns were that the traffic for this development would be going up La Cañada, turning on Sunkist and through the school. So if we could maybe first have Ms. Brody respond to what the circulation patterns will be for the self-storage use, and then we'll go to maybe your second part of the question, sir.
Great. So as far as the storage use and our circulation, we're in the island currently, there is not a leftover, as we would call it, into the property. We are creating that so that our traffic does not interfere or make worse the traffic that's going into the school. So that is our circulation. Our retail space will be there when you come in just to the right, and that will be the main access point for the property that's to the south of us towards La Cañada. You want to speak?
And then Ms. Sylvan, if you were going to add to it.
Okay. I'm going to give just a little bit of a little more context. So as I mentioned before, Lehman Academy came in and is not subject to zoning. And I know the town, and this is where I don't want to speak on behalf of the town, but the town has worked really closely with Lehman Academy and the underlying developer to work on the circulation patterns over the years. As we've done this, because back when it was master planned, it was intended to be a cohesive development, all having shared access. And part of what we were working with the town on was truly separating Lehman Academy, especially during the AM and the PM drop-offs and pickups, from really anything that developed in that southern area. So part of what was worked on was that commitment for that additional curb cut that really everything south of Lehman would work on. What I think has happened, and this is where Mr. Laws from the town may need to interject more, is that so we're separating those, and Brody already talked about that. There is an opportunity, because there is a required access point for Tangerine, a right-in, right-out along the west, that there may be an opportunity for the Lehman folks to be able to use that area west of the project, that road that's right down there. Our use is going to come straight up the La Cañada. They may go out or come in off of Tangerine using that right in, right out, but we are not mixing our use. Our folks, our customers, won't be using Sunkist nor the Lehman Academy. That circulation is for Lehman.
All right. And Mr. Cause, did that answer your question?
I think it did. Okay. I'd like to just confirm that there's not going to be the development. The traffic will not be able to drive from the parking lot south of Lehman to this development through the Lehman Academy parking lot to Sunkist.
No. That will not happen.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cause. Can we have Emily unmuted, please? Emily?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Perfect. So I just have a few comments. So I live up in north of the proposed development area, probably like 2 minutes. It's myself and my young children. Seeing this development, I've spoken with my neighbors around me, and I have to say that this is just not something that we want. We use La Cañada as our main entrance and exit for our community, and there's basically no services within a near area for us. My son was sick the other night, and I had to drive quite far to go to a pharmacy for him. There's no gas within a nearby station. And I know that's maybe not something that local residents necessarily want, but I have to say that when I was looking online, there are 25 storage units within a 15-mile radius of my house. I just don't think that this is something that we need nor want in this area. Also, I'm not sure that you've driven up La Cañada during school drop-off and pickup. I have multiple times, and that left turn entrance, the line of traffic is far beyond where your entrance would be for that left turn. Having a right-only exit onto La Cañada is not a solution for the traffic. To be honest with you, it's really bad. I avoid leaving my home during those times because that's the only road that I really drive in and out of. And it's terrible and it's a little bit dangerous with little kids running around. And as I'm looking at your proposed map, I don't see a solution for those concerns. I only see it getting worse. So those are my comments.
All right. Thank you, Emily. So Ms. Sylvan, if you could respond to the traffic as well as maybe how you guys chose this site with other self-storages around.
I'll take the traffic. Well. We tried to point this out, and I'm not sure that I did a very good job of it, but so this is the approved plan, and the approved plan has about 140,000 square feet potential of office. Again, the tech park area is the area that we're talking about. Opportunities for commercial and some of those other uses are further to the south. The tech park.
I'm virtual. I can't see what you're pointing at.
I'm not really pointing. Can she see the map?
Yes. No, I only see you.
No.
See you talking, but I don't know what map you're talking about.
Just one moment. If we can get the screen.
There we go. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry. I thought you were looking at the map.
It's all good.
So what's outlined in both yellow and red is the tech park area. That's the area that is approved for tech park type uses. So it's office, research and development, employment. It's not the retail commercial. The retail commercial is down to the south. So when we talk about substituting self-storage for some of the retail commercial uses you were talking about, those weren't intended to be placed in the tech park area. It's the southern area. What has been approved is the potential for a little over 100,000 square feet, actually about 140,000 square feet of office. And so as we talk about traffic in the area, I have actually been on La Cañada, Tangerine, and the area north during drop-off and pickup. I was representing the master developer when we were trying to solve some of the Lehman Academy circulation issues. So we were out there, and I am never going to disagree with the statements that you made. What we wanted to show on this slide is this is just comparing 100,000 square feet. And so when we talk about traffic being one of the major issues in this area, self-storage is one of the lowest traffic generators, particularly during AM and PM peak, because that's not – people come to their self-storage during the day, and as they start to understand that there's traffic in the area, they will tend to avoid the AM and those AM and PM drop-off and pickup times. So I think what's hard is we're comparing vacant land that doesn't have any traffic to self-storage, but really the comparison should be what's approved on the site, which is a significant traffic generator, as you can see, hopefully, from this slide.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay. As opposed to the self-storage. So that it doesn't address all of the concerns that you just talked about, but I want to make sure everybody knows where our starting point is with this project as well. Did you want to add something to traffic before?
If we could have Mr. Laws.
Okay, David Laws, the town of Oro Valley. So one other thing to point out when we look at the traffic numbers, 153 daily trips, that's not necessarily 153 new cars. So that's a trip to the self-storage facility and a trip back home from the self-storage facility. So in reality, 153 trips is like, 75 cars. And then when we look at a site like this, we look at distributed traffic. So that new connector road on the west side of the project from Lehman down to Tangerine, that's going to help formalize what cars are doing today. So cars are driving down that dirt road sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to help alleviate that issue. It's going to provide a formalized paved access road to Tangerine, which will help further distribute traffic. So what does that mean? You've got a lot of cars pushing towards La Cañada right now. When that is paved, more of that traffic is going to go south directly to Tangerine.
All right. And then
Yeah, Brody,
as,
if you...
Yes, as far as the site selection, I can tell you I was one of Walgreens' largest developers in the country. I didn't think I'd ever hear somebody say that there aren't enough drugstores somewhere. But you're right. There is not a lot of drugstores up here. And my bet is that kind of retail will come. Activity breeds more activity, and I think this intersection is a great intersection for those types of uses. As far as the self-storage goes, so 90% of the people that use our facility live within 2 to 3 miles of the facility. If you pull a 3-mile radius, there are zero storage facilities within that area from this site. So the storage is to the west off of Tangerine, is just outside that radius. The extra space that just opened kind of to the southeast is just outside of that radius. I will tell you that extra space, they are leasing in that new facility over 100 units a month, which is a lot more than they projected. It just shows the amount of demand. And as far as rates go, they're well above the national average.
Right. And if you could also speak to the retail space that you're providing, do you know who will, do you have tenants in mind or?
So we don't have any tenants in mind. That'll be what we call spec space, which is not my favorite space, especially in these public forums, because I can't tell you what it's going to be. My guess, or what I think it will be, is more service retail oriented type stuff. HR Block, those kind of service retail kind of things. You could see a doctor's office, something like that, but I think it'll be more service oriented than impulse type buys, which would be convenience. All that retail would go in the corner.
Thank you. All right, so now I want to take some more questions from the audience. If we can get the lady in the black shirt, please.
Thank you. One of my questions was a retail, so I appreciate that, but not knowing is a little concerning. What are the hours going to be, the operational hours? And my question at the last meeting was regarding the giant windows that are going to be lit up at night. Yep. So I don't see any changes in that design. Can you put some sort of shading at night so those lights aren't glaring into the neighborhoods?
So a couple things. So let me get the notes. I can tell you exactly what we committed to. They're right there.
So, and just to clarify, I think I do remember your comment. It's the windows in that tower, correct? That image.
It looks like there's a tower on each end that's going to be facing La Cañada. Is that still the orientation?
Sure.
So what about a tower with windows on both ends of that building facing east?
Right. So we can have that discussion. So as far as lighting goes, we don't have any requirements like you would for retail. Our only requirements is life safety. And so as far as the business hours, what we've committed to is at 6 a.m. So the building will be able to be accessed 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., and it will be manned 8:30 to 5:30-ish. We might move, just depending on what customer demand is, we might move that around 30 minutes. But as far as our lighting goes, we can dim the lighting so that as far as in the towers, to make sure that we're not shining lights like the school. As far as the bleed off, we can do site lighting and parking lot lighting and wall packs that will have barriers, if you will, so that they will not shine off the property. And so we will put all that in place, and the city certainly will have the ability to approve all that lighting plan. But the goal is not like retail where you light it up and because you want people to come. Somebody's coming to our facility at 7 o'clock at night is somebody that already has lease space. And so our intent is not to draw customers there. It's more life safety.
And I guess for the towers, are there lights inside that are going to shine out? I think, is that more of your question?
Yep. So there are lights inside, and we can, I don't know how you regulate that, but we can talk about that to make sure that we're not shining the lights. I do think it gives it a good feel, but certainly we don't have to light that. Light that tower up. If that's a big deal, we don't have to. Most places like for us to do that because it, but we can do lighting, up lighting from outside the building. And so if that's a big issue that you're concerned about, we certainly don't have to do it.
Yeah. So, well, and it is,
hold on one moment. Sorry.
Let me clarify.
I would say, though, that Lehman School is a big issue. They have not turned their lights down, and I realize it's just a safety issue because there's no one in the building in the middle of the night. Right. So they have not mitigated their light source issue, and so you're going to be adding to that. And what about night sky ordinance that we have here?
Yeah. So, and that's what I wanted to address. So Lehman Academy, as I mentioned before, is not subject to zoning. So it doesn't have to comply with any of the outdoor lighting. We have to comply with the outdoor lighting code. So that requirement that it be shielded, there can't be light trespass, there's a certain amount of lumens, we have to comply with. So what I think Brody is talking about, so we had talked about doing potentially spandrel glass or fake glass in that area. What that does is it causes reflections when the sun hits it. So what our architect actually recommended was the glass, and then as a response to both, I think, the neighbors who we met with as well as staff, in some of those, like the extra space storage places, you see bright green doors. In those inside, they're like pretend storage doors to show that it's self-storage. We've muted those down to neutral colors in that area, so that's a piece of it. And the lighting that's usually in there is a down lighting, the ones that I've seen, on the door, and it's just meant to show that there's space in there, but it's not spreading out, and we still have to comply with the shielding and the lumens, so it's not going to be one that's shot out, and we can't do the up lighting. So I don't know if that better kind of explains how the town is going to regulate our lighting as well.
As far as that lighting goes, I've never been asked this question, so you challenged me to figure out how I can tell you what we're going to do and make sure that the city has a hammer to hit us in the head with if we don't. Like I said, we don't have to do that. I do think it at night gives it an architectural feature so it doesn't feel like a blank wall. But if you think about an office building, if somebody's in an office building working at night and the lights are on, you know, that's not a light that's going to bother you. Our lights will be less than that.
Okay.
Staff, if we can figure out a way, I don't know how to measure that, but certainly as we'll figure it out. And I'm telling you, when we open, if those lights are extremely bright, we'll turn them down.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have one more question?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I was a little bit concerned in the retail aspect of it now, not knowing what's going to be in there, because just in the paper today, there's a dispensary in Phoenix that's running 24 hours, a pot dispensary.
We won't do that.
So
I can tell you that.
Are we going to, be facing
Sheriff, Mr. Packer?
Sure. I can answer that. Within the town of Oro Valley, we've got basically a limitation on where recreational marijuana or medical marijuana facilities can be located, and because of the proximity to the schools, this would not be a site where that could occur.
Okay.
So, and if it makes you feel better, within the property owners association, so the commercial property in the front, we have an operating agreement that says we won't do noxious uses, those kind of things, marijuana, all that goes along with that, and that's a recorded document.
All right, and is there anybody else with a question? Okay, I'm going to go back online because I have a couple questions. If we can get Sheila Scanlon unmuted, please.
Hi, this is Sheila. Can you hear me?
Yes we can, Sheila.
So I have a few things. I have a question, and then I have comments. The question is this a done deal? And you keep talking about approval and approved, as in past tense. In this meeting, are you deciding that you're going to go forward and build this, or is it already decided and we're just having this as a courtesy meeting to the community? That's my first question, but I want to comment. So I'm looking at a map right now, and I'm looking at all the storage facilities, and I'm looking at Oro Valley. And when this town was built, the storage facilities were all placed on Oracle Road. so that it wouldn't be clapped right down in residential areas, so that people's view wouldn't be blocked and you wouldn't have to be talking about a three-story building your home would be looking at or the lights shining off of it. And all of a sudden now I'm looking and seeing how on Tangerine, we're slowly migrating away from the mountain into the residential areas in the northern region. The older parts are protected, but now these storage facilities are finding their way in, and the residences that are going to have to, like, oh, well, we're going to have a few people whose view is messed up. I think that's messed up. I wouldn't vote for this. Obviously, you can tell I object to this. I travel up and down that road. And in the discussion, you were talking about the storage facility and then how other businesses migrate in. Well, maybe a pot place won't migrate in. But all of a sudden, those few cars that you were mentioning for the storage facility now creates a traffic problem, because you've created an opening by putting this building in there. And all of a sudden now, since you're there, everybody else is going to come. And this is going to be a very interesting situation for the residents who have, as the other person said, this is their only way in and out of their neighborhood, and they're constantly passing through here. So there's lots of places. As I look at the map here, I'm looking up north of Tangerine, and there's a lot of open land that could be used for something like this that could be in a valley and wouldn't be blocking the view that people move out here to see. There's lots of other places. So my concern is, one, is this a done deal, or and is this just doing lip service to the make sure that the meeting is had and do it anyway? Or really, are you listening to the residents' concerns about traffic, about the use of the land, about how the lights are interfering with their views at night and how people can't see the mountain anymore? Is this a done deal?
Sure. Mr. Packer, can you walk us through the process for the development, but also the items we look in terms of formalizing our recommendation and how neighborhood input is used?
Yes, absolutely. So this project is, again, project has not been approved. When we speak of what has been approved in the past, there are, I'm not sure if the screen is being shared right now, but this slide that we have on our screen in the council chambers tonight shows two previously approved master development plans for the entire site that includes Lehman Academy, now the residences at Miller Ranch. These are what we're referring to as having already been approved. When we're talking about this project tonight, it has not been approved. This is a conditional use permit, meaning the use itself is conditional to being, it requires approval by the town council. So the next steps in the process are going to be the applicant will hear the conversation tonight, take these comments into their council, and possibly make revisions to the plans. But the next step will be they'll take this to the Planning and Zoning Commission, who will form a recommendation, and they will pass that recommendation on to town council, who will make the final decision in regards to whether to approve or deny this conditional use for the property.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. And I just want to reiterate that the feedback we're getting tonight, we do take into account to formulate staff's recommendation, but it's also forwarded to the commission as well as town council to help them with their decision-making as well. And so, Ms. Sylvan, did you have anything you wanted to add?
The only thing I wanted to add is the slide that you're looking at. The one on the right is the, and I use this past tense, this is the approved plan. And this is not showing the self-storage. What it is showing is four buildings, at least two of which, if not all four of them, under the Tech Park zoning, could be the 36 feet or 34 feet based on the approved development package. So that's the approved. What we need to go through the conditional use permit for is for the self-storage use. And again, that's where it's important to compare the traffic counts, because the same amount of that type of a building, which we have oriented so that it's not the shorter side is towards the neighbors and adjacent to the common area, understanding there's some concerns with the gentleman at the end of the cul-de-sac, as well as the traffic. Those are the kinds of things that we're listening to. And we're certainly listening to and have had a number of discussions about lighting, additional landscaping, and those kinds of issues. So we are making modifications as we go.
All right. And if we can get Chris unmuted, please. Chris? We could barely hear you. Can you try one more time? Chris, are you able to speak in your microphone one more time?
Yeah, can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Now we can. Perfect.
All right. So I just had a comment just to add to kind of piggyback on the previous one. You know, my wife and I and our kids, we live in the Miller Ranch community, and our kids go to Lehman Academy, and, you know, just...
Oh, Chris, I think you may have cut out. All right, well, maybe while we wait to see if Chris is able to come back online, are there other questions from the audience? Yeah, ma'am.
I just had one more follow-up for the retail. So you had mentioned, forgive me, I can't remember your name.
Carrie.
That the retail zoning was south of this building. So how is this retail space fitting into that zoning section? And why don't, Brody, don't you just have another couple storage units instead of a retail space?
Sure.
That would complete the zoning.
Yeah. Sure. So actually, we are much more comfortable utilizing that for self-storage space in working with staff to create, you know, more of a mixed use in here. We were asked to set aside about 4,000 square feet for retail. So I would say if there's a desire that the retail really be concentrated down on the south, we don't have a problem. We were holding that out. There's a number of self-storage spaces in the town of Oro Valley that have all been required to create kind of that mix of use. But this is intended to be primarily the office area with the concentration of retail down to the south. This is kind of that bridge, right, between that north Lehman and then the rest of the tech park and down. So I think that was the kind of thought process, but we were responding to staff comments.
So I'll tell you, I don't like doing any kind of retail, any kind of space is going to be empty. And you can go around town and see some developments where people just plopped on retail so they could say it was mixed use. I'm not a believer in that because I feel like long term, you know, that takes away from the value of our storage. The feel, we feel like the customer's experience starts when the customer can see the building. From a use standpoint, while we have the ability to do retail, you can also look at the amount of parking that we're doing. And as you can see, there's not a lot of parking for that retail. So it will be a low traffic generator type tenant. I can't tell you exactly because it'll be spec, just depends on who comes along. As Kerry said, we'd be fine doing storage. You know, the thing I like about that is it is a known as far as traffic impact, noise, use, but the city wanted us to have some type of mixed uses, and so we have added that. But I feel very confident that we'll be able to lease that space, and that space will not be vacant, or I would fight with staff, or push staff, I should say, because, it's better for everybody to have all the spaces full.
So that's not a rezone then, Kyle, by adding that retail piece into the building?
Thank you. That's a... Hello? Hello?
All righty. That's, yeah, there we go. So that really is the result of an ancillary use to the self-storage. So there are a number of uses that are permitted within tech park zoning, and this is, again, kind of a really looking for an expansion of services where we've heard folks within a lot of these projects kind of seek that additional service instead of kind of turn an area over to a single use.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. And just as an example on an aside, is the self-storage at Steam Pump, their lower level also has retail in it. That's, from what I've heard, been full. So it's kind of, as Ms. Sylvan said, to make that transition to the commercial side as well. So other questions from the audience? Sir?
I don't need the microphone.
Oh, if we could use the mic only because those online can't hear without it. Thank you.
Sorry.
Brody and Carrie, how long do you anticipate it will take to fill this storage facility? I've been told it's going to take 2 years, and I would assume that there's going to be a lot of activity and a lot of noise until that building is filled. Is that correct?
So from a projection standpoint, what do you project in your budgets and whatnot? We do. We look at 24 to 36 months. As I said earlier, with the experience that we've seen in Tucson, we believe we'll fill it up within a year. As far as activity goes, you actually won't see more activity. You'll see less because people aren't moving out. And so it's just people moving in. And so as the facility becomes more occupied, you'll have people moving out and moving in. But from an activity standpoint, there's very, very little activity within the building. We honestly wish that people would use the units more, but less than 10% once they have the unit come back once every 30 days. Once every 30 days. So less than 10% use it more than once a month.
All right. Thank you. And if we can try to unmute Chris again, I want to see if we're able to hear him this time.
Yeah, are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Perfect.
All right, I'm so sorry about that before. My Wi-Fi was cutting out. So just wanted to make a comment. And my wife and I and our kids, we live in the Miller Ranch community and right across from Lehman Academy, and our children go to Lehman Academy. And I guess just to make a statement that, you know, with having young kids, we're also against this. Just in general, for this use. Just maybe a question of, have there been any efforts by Lehman Academy to utilize this land? I know that's kind of for a separate meeting, you know, it even have to talk about rezoning, but, you know, my wife and I talking, like, that would be a great area to even utilize as like a park or sports fields that the school can later on use. Do you have any comment on that?
So Ms. Sylvan, do you know if Lehman's ever tried to use that piece of property?
So there have been discussions. They have not come to fruition. I just want to remind everybody that Lehman is exempt from zoning. So some of the concerns, and you probably didn't hear, Chris, some of the oohs that went on during that discussion, where we hear a lot of concerns about they're not subject to the outdoor lighting code, so lighting issues with any level of expansion, as well as sports fields and those kinds of issues in the area. So I know there's keep in mind the level of the traffic has been one of the biggest issues that we've heard, and so when you talk about the self storage. At the 100,000 square feet versus the office, that it does, the opportunity for alleviating some future traffic issues are certainly there. We hear you. The master developer, Michael Sarabia, unfortunately couldn't come tonight, so I don't know that I can speak directly to any of those ongoing discussions, but I know that Lehman did develop in two phases. I think even on the land that they have, and there, I just don't know what kind of discussions occurred there.
And certainly, I'm not a decision making for Lehman, but you know, if they were to come to us and say they wanted to figure out how to purchase that land, work together, whatever it may be, that's something that we certainly would sit down with them immediately. I mean, it's, if you just think about, all right, the problem is stacking on La Cañada. Well, we've got 4 acres. How do we figure out collectively to work together to improve it? But I'm willing and able and open to figure out how to do that, but I'm certainly not a decision maker for Lehman, but it's not a bad idea.
Right.
4 acres.
Yeah,
on 4 acres.
Thank you.
And I would just say, you know, when this comes to the town council hearing this, that I know that there is, you know, well, there may not be very many people attending this meeting that have young kids. I know there's plenty out there that would love to see that being utilized, you know, in that way. So that's good to know. That's something that could be talked about.
We're more than willing and able, and would like to have those conversations. So, it, you know, sometimes things just make sense to me that 4 acres is there. I mean, is there a way to work together and figure out how to alleviate some of the issues?
All right. Thank you, Chris. We have another question online. If we can get Emily unmuted, please.
Hi. Thanks for taking my second comment. So in discussion, I'm hearing that a lot of the land there was zoned for, you know, like business. I just wanted to make another comment that a lot of my neighbors that I've seen that have left my community and moved away have moved away because they have to drive so far for their jobs. It's actually like the number one reason why people leave my neighborhood, because you'll ask your neighbor, well, where are you going? Well, I drive 40 minutes to work every day. You know, it would be great to have places where people could work. You know, I know that the storage unit would provide jobs, but not that many jobs within the location. And honestly, it would be really nice to have professionals who want to move in and stay in our neighborhoods because they work nearby. We have a lot of people in our neighborhood who work at Ventana Medical Center. And it's awesome to see people who grow their families, can afford to buy the homes in our neighborhood, and can live in our neighborhood close by and drive close by to work. But again, that wouldn't be an option with a storage facility. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Emily.
So I can speak to that a little bit. I mean, there's a give and take always. I mean, it sounds like traffic is one of the biggest issues that everybody has. And certainly I think storage is probably the best use to help eliminate some of that traffic. From an employment standpoint, I don't know how many companies are headquartered out here or have big offices that are out here. Like I said, we've got the 4 acres. We certainly will go recruit whoever we can recruit. But once again, I think we're trying to eliminate the traffic problem as best we can. An office is not going to help that.
All right. Thank you. Are there other questions? We still have about 15 minutes. So we definitely have time if you have second or third questions. All right. If we can have this gentleman, please.
I'm Brian Davies. I own the house at the bottom west of the project here. I've been involved in this area, the development, for quite a while, and it's changed quite a bit over the years. So I kind of have a different perspective from everyone else, saying, like, one person said, is this a done deal and things like that. Well, here's where it's really at. Here's the bird's eye view of what's gone on here. Years ago, it was zoned for 36 feet large buildings. And it's already done. So that part of it is a done deal. You know, if for some reason we went against and tried to sue for that, any developer would sue Oro Valley, and that would be a problem. So it's really basically going to happen one way or another. Once I realized that, then I thought, well, right now we're working with Brody and Carrie and on the development part of this, and they've been great. They're really, really good people to work with, and they're listening to us and making changes and things like that. If for some reason this does not go through, if the board doesn't, the town council doesn't vote this in, they are zoned to put whatever they want to there at 36 feet. And they could put buildings wherever they want to, and it would never go through any kind of a discussion like that. So really, it's like having drinking ditch water. Well, you got a choice: drink ditch water or drink the seawater, a gallon of it. Which do you want to do? Well, you don't want to do either of them, but one of them is more palatable. So right now, that's kind of how I'm seeing this whole project. It's already a done deal, but working with Brody and them, they are at least listening to us and trying to do the best that they can under the circumstances. That's basically what I have to say.
Thank you.
All right. So again, staff and the applicant will be here after, should you want to continue to have questions or comments. But we'll go ahead and wrap up the meeting, not seeing anybody else online who wants to speak to. So one thing we did hear from this meeting, though, is to work with the applicant on the lighting for the towers. So we will get with them on that, and especially the lighting coming from the inside out across the street. And then, so the next steps for this project are, again, it will go to the Planning and Zoning Commission first, and that will be on October 4th, and it is a public hearing. So if you didn't receive a notification, please make sure you sign in so we can get you on. And then also you'll see the signs go up on site. And then following a recommendation from the commission, it will go to town council. And if you think of any other comments or questions that you want to ask in the meantime, please make sure you email Mr. Packer, and he will get back to you on that. And I want to just thank everyone for joining us online and in person. So have a great night.
Thank you.
Hopefully a dry night.